Today's Minnesota Reads is made possible by the bookstore at Fitker's, a full-service book and toy store located in the bottom floor of Fitker's on Superior Street, online at fitkersbookstore.com. Tom Berg joins us this morning. He's an author, and he's also a former legislator. He has written the book called Minnesota's Miracle, Learning from the Government That Worked. Tom, good morning, and thanks for joining us.
Good morning. It's my pleasure.
There is so much in your book that struck me that the legislative session that we're talking about, or the time in history that we're talking about, I'm thinking, if I'm getting it right, 1972 to about 1978.
That's correct.
The folks were dealing with so many of the same issues that our state and our country are dealing with now, and yet their approach was completely different. Talk about that a little bit. In this day and age, folks are in despair over what you had talked about with deal cutting and arm twisting and hard work. Well, I don't know whether many people feel that our legislators are doing hard work, but they're really cynical about this idea of deal cutting and feel as though it's only benefiting the wealthy.
You're correct. There are some very significant problems here, I think, and you're right. The book is about basically the decade from, say, 68 to 78 in Minnesota politics, and it was a big change in the 72 election when, for the first time in the history of the state, the Democrats controlled both the House and the Senate and the governorship. That had never happened before. And a whole bunch of us, I was one of the people, new people came in 70 or 72. The average age dropped. We went from, there was one woman in the legislature when I was elected, and it jumped up to five in 72 and then took off from there. And so there was a very significant sea change in the makeup of the legislature. And I tell some stories about that in the book and how it came about and all. But there was a real attitude, you're right, Lisa, about bipartisanship, and we're going to try to make the state work. And it came together quite nicely. There was a big issue about fiscal matters similar to today. We were dealing with environmental issues, and Willard Munger from up at Duluth, one of the key players up there, helped lead things, and a lot of environmental laws got passed on a bipartisan basis. We did some campaign finance work trying to wrestle with the problem of money in politics, and that, again, was a bipartisan basis. I authored the country's first major campaign finance bill with public financing, and a co-author of mine was the minority leader. I'm a Democrat and a Republican, and we worked things out together. So you're absolutely right. There was a real bipartisan effort to make the state work.
You mentioned that patriotism was a motivation for politics, and that it's interesting because yesterday was Constitution Day, and we talked a little bit about Constitution Day and the idea of making a more perfect union, and that's what patriotism meant at the time, and that's why it seems that folks were more willing to work together. Now, patriotism seems as though the concept has been co-opted a little bit, and it seems as though it's much more partisan and much more, it kind of puts people at odds with one another.
You've hit upon it, and it's something that, frankly, really gets under my skin when I hear some of the stuff that goes on about it. The key, I think, and what I talk about in the book, go back a little bit and talk about federalism, where the Constitution came from and all, is the preamble to the Constitution is a wonderful statement. It's one sentence long, and it just tells us what the country and what the form of government is all about. And it talks about, you're right, to form a more perfect union, and it says to establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty. And that one sentence captures what this should be all about and what patriotism is all about. It's not merely wearing the flag on a lapel pin or not just serving in the military, although obviously that's a very important, critical thing, But it's also being a teacher, volunteering your time, working on school issues, being a mentor, taking care of our environment. All of that stuff, in my view, and what we felt back in the 70s, is part of patriotism.
One of the things that I wondered about, you talked about how partisanship is polarizing and how new politicians need open minds, they need thoughtful appreciations of lessons and actions. Obviously, this has to do in many instances with subtlety and nuance. And as much as I hate the knee-jerk criticism of quote-unquote the media, can you really communicate those things when you've got only 30 seconds in a political ad or maybe 8 seconds in a soundbite? And the idea is for you to come up with some kind of a pithy soundbite to make the evening news.
That's the tricky part of being in politics today. And you add to that, I think, Lisa, the whole issue now that we didn't have back in the 70s of social media, where people are tweeting and a good share of it inaccurately about what's happening. And it is difficult to get through to people. That's one reason I wrote the book, to try to educate some more folks, hopefully do it in an entertaining and fun manner, but to get beyond the bumper sticker mentality in life. And there's way too much of that going on. I tend to think that the state legislatures around the country, and I think it's true in Minnesota here, generally are doing a better job than the folks in Washington are now. I think Washington, it sounds to me like just a real dysfunctional mess. And I think, for example, in Minnesota, we've done quite well. This last couple sessions of the legislature have cleaned up the mess about funding for schools and the all-day kindergarten and raising the minimum wage. Some of these kind of things that I think should be bipartisan, and quite often were, or at least sometimes were in the last session of the legislature, meet the test of what government should be in that preamble that we talked about a couple minutes ago.
We're running out of time. I hate it when that happens. But talk just briefly about when compromise became a dirty word and when politicians, perhaps in particular, started to dig in their heels and say, no, my way or the highway.
That's a real tough question and a good one. And I've given talks to lots of groups around the state, and that comes up quite often. And I don't know exactly when it became. I quote in the book from Fritz Mondale. He talked about it as maybe when the rise of the religious right a little more in politics came along. Other people have told me they thought it was with the abortion decisions in the Supreme Court that polarized people tremendously. And I think it's probably a broader thing when people started bowling alone, to quote the book, and just spending time by themselves and not interfacing enough with people of different beliefs and just start talking about it. And they became just way too rigid in their beliefs because you only talk to people of the same ilk as you are.
Tom, I wish we had more time to talk about your book because it really is fascinating and entertaining. But thank you so much for joining us this morning.
My pleasure, Lisa. It was nice to be with you.
Tom Berg is the author of Minnesota's Miracle, Learning from the Government That Worked. He's an author and a former legislator. Minnesota Reads is produced at KUMD with funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and also by the bookstore at Fitker's, a full-service book and toy store located on the bottom floor of Fitker's on Superior Street. Online at fitkersbookstore.com.